The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
That I thought would be a nice wrap-up to that series. So this will be, so far as I know, the last sermon in this series about Can You Handle the Truth? And we've been using as a text on John chapter 1, verse 14. And it says, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." And that's what I wanted you to see, that full of grace and truth, because that's who Jesus is. He is all grace. We often speak of His grace, but He's more than that. He's also the truth, not a truth, but the truth. In the sermons that we covered in this series, we talked about the truth about what Jesus had done. We spoke about the truth instead of deception. We covered, and this was probably one of the ones that maybe is the most liberating of truths that we talked about, of praising God instead of confession. And then 2 weeks ago, we talked about Jesus as our high priest. I would highly recommend all four of those sermons. If you didn't hear them, you can get a CD or a DVD, or again, you can go to the internet and you can watch them there, or download the audio to your iPod or iPhone or whatever other thing you have, okay? So, but I would encourage you, if you didn't hear those sermons, to listen to them. And today we're going to continue with Can You Handle the Truth about how to live by faith? How to live by faith. So what I want to do is go to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 6. And this is a New International Version that we're using. There's so many passages of Scripture that I could have chosen, but I thought that these two would at least set the stage and the tempo for what we're speaking about this morning. Verse 1 says, "Now faith is," and I put in highlighted for you in yellow to focus on that, "faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." I want you to keep those thoughts in your mind through the morning. It's confidence and assurance. And then down in verse 6, probably the keynote passage about faith, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." The truth that you believe about God will determine how much you trust Him and how you will live your life. I want to say that again. The truth that you believe about God will determine how much you trust Him and how you will live your entire life. If you've got a little bitty God, you're going to have a little bitty faith. You're going to have little bitty things going on in your life. If you've got a God who's bigger than all creation, and you trust that God, you will see mighty things happen. Now, I say, well, gee, can I limit God? Well, you can. You can limit Him by your faith. What will you trust Him for? What will you believe Him for? You know, how great is your faith? There are several major words in the Bible that we talk about. One of those major words, major concept, is love. Love is such a big concept that I think it's interesting that it finally, almost in a crescendo, it says, "And God is love." I mean, He is love. That's how big that concept is. There's a concept of hope. It defines in many ways how we live, that we have this hope. You know, it's not a hope that we're wondering whether something will take place, but it's a hope that things will take place according to what God has said. And the one that we're going to address today is the concept of faith, because it's a personal concept that really sets the course of our lives. We're a people of faith. I make it my habit to do around here. I speak of us as believers. We are believers in God. We have faith in God. Faith is used in the New International Version. In other translations, maybe a little different. But just the word faith is used about 250 times. In fact, Pat, while I'm going on this, would you hand out this handout? I forgot to tell you about it earlier. Dennis, you can help her if you want. Why don't you take one side and pass that out, and Pat will get the other side, so everyone will have this. You're not necessarily going to refer to it right now, but I wanted you to have these scriptures that I'm going to talk about, because when it comes to faith, it uses the phrase no faith one time. It uses little faith six times. It uses great faith three times. It uses your faith 39 times. Talks about my faith once. Talks about his faith three times. Talks about their faith eight times. Talks about without faith once. In all faith one time. So faith is used in a lot of different ways. Now, that didn't cover all 250 times that it's used, but these are the major things that I picked up and the concepts that I want to address this morning. Now, there are actually three major themes of faith as I went through this study. There's a faith that saves, there's a faith that heals, and there's a faith that challenges us in how we should live. And so we're going to look at those three major themes this morning. Okay, you all got that? Three major themes. I've given you a lot of numbers. This is the, you know, there in the Bible is the book of Numbers. This is a sermon of numbers, all right? So you make sure you don't lose track of this. The first thing, though, that we want to discuss is your faith life begins by trusting God for salvation. That's the beginning of your faith life. And let's look at Romans 10:10. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith, is a Greek word, piezo, and are saved. So you profess your faith. The word faith and believe are used almost interchangeably throughout the Bible, and you can select either one that you want to use, but faith has a special connotation for us. It means to persuade or be persuaded, or to have confidence in something. And it's from that root word that the words faith and believe both come. That's why we use those words interchangeably, and the Bible uses them in a very interchangeable way. But it speaks about a quantity that we can have. We can have a quantity of faith. We're believing God. In fact, in some of the ways that I just told you, you can have little faith. Or you can have great faith, or you can have no faith, you know. And there's a quantity that, and we've talked about these kinds of concepts before, but it really is scripture that deals with how much faith we have for certain events in our lives. But there's more to it, because this word also speaks of action. We can exercise our faith. Actually, the word piezo is actually a verb, all right? We can faith God. One of my seminary professors was real big about saying that. He wasn't so much into having faith as was that we were to faith God in a certain way. And if you read the scriptures that way, you think about things, you can faith God. You can have action in God. When you think of quantity, there's a couple of scriptures. One of them that says that your faith is lacking, so you can have something, not enough of it. Or you can have faith that is growing. You can have a quantity of something that is growing. You can have a thimble full of faith, or you can have a bucket load of faith, or you can have a giant tanker full of faith. But faith can also be something that is an action. The scripture says that your faith wouldn't fail. Well, faith can fail us sometimes. Or we can have a faith that talked about how firm our faith is, a firm that's sure and confident. So it's quantity and action. All right? Y'all got that? Everybody say quantity?
Quantity.
Action.
Action.
All right, I can quit now. You got that. All right. Salvation begins, if you will, by your faith. It's something that you do. The gospel has been presented. The good news of Jesus, his birth, his death, his burial, his resurrection. That's the good news. Your sins are forgiven. That's all good news. And you can hear that. But until you take some action towards it, in the scripture we just read, you know, when you profess by your faith, you're doing something. Now, this is the only thing that you get to do that does you any good in the kingdom. There are other things that happen, but as far as your salvation is concerned, this is the entrance into the kingdom of God. This is where you're born again, not of flesh and blood, but of the Spirit of God. This is where you are transformed from that old creation into a new creation. This is where the life of Christ and the Spirit of God moves into you. This is where you begin to see things differently. This is where you're sealed by the Holy Spirit for all creation. This is the down payment of the Spirit that'll get you all the way to heaven. This is the beginning of your walk with God, faith. It's by your faith. You're saved by grace through faith. That's what it says in Ephesians. For by grace are you saved through faith. Your faith gets you there. Now, you don't have to have keeping faith so much as you have to have the initial evidence of faith. You get started. If you can imagine this, you know, mankind is in his great wisdom. I wonder about that. Created bombs, you know, and we've created little bombs and big bombs. We've got bombs that are 5,000-pound bombs. I can't even imagine what that would do. And we've created the atom bomb and the hydrogen bomb and, you know, all of these bombs. Well, they start off small in one place, but they have power beyond that initial stage. And that's what your faith is like. It starts at a place and then it moves out. It's like ripples on a sea that when a pebble is thrown into it. So your faith continues on. You become a person of faith. The New Testament refers to you as a believer. You're a believer. We're people of faith. That describes us better than anything else. It's not that we're doers. It's that we are. It's our position in Christ. We no longer do things in the kingdom by sight, but we do things by our faith. It's what we believe. How much do you believe God? I started off by saying, how big is your God? You know, do you trust God? Now many folks have just a little bit of faith. But Jesus said that a little faith could go a very long way. All right? So it's not just a quantity. It's what you do with what you have. You know, if you have a little and you use it properly, it'll go a long ways for you. Some people have great faith for great things. Others have little faith for great things. It all depends on where your faith is focused. All right? I want you to understand that. It's not faith in yourself. It's not faith in your faith. It's faith in the creator of your faith, who is Jesus Christ the Lord. Y'all got that? You look to him. When I say I have faith, I'm saying it's not the quantity that I have, nor is it my ability to exercise faith, but my faith is centered in Christ. I'm looking to him. What happens to us many times in the Christian walk, and why so many of us end up being beat up and thrown on the sidelines of Christianity, we're just a bloody pulp, is that we don't understand that concept. We try to do things in our own faith, in our own flesh, and our faith will fail us, and our flesh will fail us. But the one that we have faith in, our faith towards, never fails. So you can trust him in all things and believe him for all things. I've done some things. I was talking with someone this morning, and they told me that they believed it was time for them to move on to a new job. And they believe this is God's will for them. I remember when Pat and I were down in New Orleans. I was working in New Orleans. I was president of a company. I had the American dream. It was nice. I had a very small ownership in the business. But, the president of the company and I had credit cards. I had membership in the private clubs in New Orleans and some really fancy places because my main job was to entertain clients. And God spoke to me and told me that I was to leave that place. I questioned him about that. I said, God, is that you? I rebuked the devil a bunch of times, you know. Thinking that couldn't have been God. No, he would never want me to leave this place. I mean, it was a dream come true for a boy from the Ninth Ward. But God kept impressing me. In fact, just to tell you a little bit more of the story, when Pat and I talked about it quite earnestly, at the time I had enough money for us to live for about 8 weeks. After 8 weeks, I'd been up the creek. But for 8 weeks, we could eat. You know, and the rent would get paid, and I'd have been all right. So I wrote up my resignation, and I put it in my suit pocket, and I went down to the office on a Monday morning, and I was sitting at my desk and wondering whether or not I should really do this. You know, am I just losing my mind? Well, the principal stockholder of the company, which was the main reason that I was leaving, came walking in, it was Monday morning, and he threw some papers on my desk. He said, here, sign these. And that's not unusual for me to get papers to sign in the position that I was in. And I picked it up and looked at it. It was a bank note, which is not unusual because we did banking transactions. But I noticed that the bank note was made out in my name. And we were to borrow $50,000 for the company in my name. And so I went into his office to see him. I said, it must have been a mistake. Whoever drew up these papers wanted to make it out of the name of the company. And he says, no, I want you to borrow the money and invest the money into the corporation. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, it's time. So I said, well, his name was Bob. I said, Bob, here's the note because I'm not about to sign this for the company. I'll do it for the company, but I can do it personally. And then here's my resignation. I'm leaving. And so that was it. And I gave him 2 weeks' notice, and I was gone. And as it turned out, we survived for 8 weeks, 10 weeks, and 12 weeks, and 14 weeks, started the business that is still in operational even to this day. So, but it was by faith in God that I did it. It wasn't what I thought that I could do, but my faith and my trust was in Him and His ability. And I heard that voice of God directing me and speaking to me about what I was supposed to do. So the just will live by faith and not by sight. All right, so it's not what you see, it's what you believe. You are a believer. Do you know that your eyes will trick you? Your eyes. I met a guy when I was down in Florida who's a magician, and he was talking about that very thing. He said the reason that magic works so well, and he said it's tricks, is that people expect to see something, but the magician knows what they expect to see, and by sleight of hand, he shows them something else that they expected to see. And everybody goes, all right, that's the way it is. If you trust your sight, you have an expectation of things to see, God wants to come in and show you something completely different. So that's living by faith. Y'all got that? All right, good. Second thing I want to talk about is your faith is trusting God for healing. All right? And my operator disappeared back there on the computer. There we go. And we have, we're like LSU. We got a deep field back there, lots of players. So they just picked up and ran with the ball, okay? So faith in healing. In fact, we have people that we call them what? Faith healers, don't we? All right. So we're going to discuss this. Now, I selected three passages of Scripture. And by the way, the handout you have is pretty much all of the Scriptures that that I'll be alluding to. But I wanted you to take them home and look at them personally and do your own personal Bible study. But in Luke chapter 8, can you do that one more time, Don? There you go. There we go. Luke chapter 8, verse 48. Then he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you, go in peace. Luke 17, 19, then he said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. Luke 18, 42, Jesus said to him, receive your sight, your faith has healed you. Now, you notice it's your faith healed you, your faith made you well, your faith has healed you. So this thing of your faith, a large percentage of the New Testament, when it talks about faith, talks about healing. that there's something about healing. And we've heard lots of teaching through the years about this. We've read books about it. We've had people come by and try to explain it. Well, I'm going to add my two cents into the mix today about healing. Of course, I'll have the definitive correct answer. All the others were just trying to get to it. Most testimonies of healing have to do with your faith. Your faith. Jesus was unable to do many miracles because of unbelief or unfaith that existed somewhere. In healing, your quantity of faith and your action for faith meet together. It's the quantity that you have and the action that you take, and they meet together. Your faith grows to the quantity so that you have enough to believe God to act on your behalf. I'm going to discuss that for a few moments. As you walk through your Christian life as a believer, you should be growing in your faith. You should be more full today of the truth of God than you were yesterday. What happens to many of us is instead of growing, we have a leak in our faith bucket, and our faith drains out. So instead of building up where we could do more and more things in the kingdom, and especially when it comes to healing, we find that we're lacking. We don't have that faith in God to do things. And what we've done, we've substituted other things for God. We've substituted doctors, nurses, medicine, and all a whole host of things instead of having our faith be in God. Now, I am not opposed to doctors. I'm not opposed to medicine. I'm not opposed to any of those things. What I'm opposed to is this. People who say, and I've heard it said more times than I can imagine, well, all we can do is pray. Man, that is pathetic. For people of faith who are called believers, that ought to be the first thing that we're doing. Amen. We look to God. We give Him opportunity. We trust Him to do something on our behalf. We use our faith and we place it in Him to do things. Now, God may say, and you may feel comfortable going to your doctor. How many of you have been to doctors recently? Let me just see your hand. You've been to doctors, all right? Do those guys know what they're doing? Man, is it weird? I'll tell you, they don't know. They're practicing. You're right. They're just practicing. And you know what the object of their practice is? You. They practice on you. They don't know. They're shaking their heads. They don't have it all together. But the great physician, isn't it interesting that Jesus is referred to as the great physician? He has all that you need. And when we are sick and our bodies do get sick, we need to go to Him first of all. Why do you think there's so much in the Scriptures about healing? Because we get sick. We live in a fallen world. This fallen world's got all kinds of terrible things going on in it, and we are recipients of that. Those of you who have lived to be of some age, you will notice that certain things begin to happen to your body. It gets sicker. It doesn't do what it's supposed to do. And you need some help. Well, what we should be doing is trusting God to take care of us so that when we are old, and it is time for us to pass out of this life, assuming the rapture doesn't occur, that we live a life of faith, trusting God for our physical healing. We ask Him to heal our eyes. We ask Him to heal our stomachs. We ask Him to heal our arms. We ask Him to do a multitude of things. And we trust Him above all things. And while we're trusting Him, if we need to use a physician and that you don't get that instantaneous healing you want, that's okay. But again, our faith is not in that person or necessarily in their skills, but in God's ability to guide that person on our behalf. We pray for those doctors. When I had to have surgery several years ago, I prayed for the doctors before. I'm not letting anybody put a knife on me that I hadn't prayed for. You know, it's just not going to happen. You know, we're going to pray. And I had people praying for me. I had a gathering of people praying. I wasn't trusting the doctors. I was trusting God to use the doctors. God gives that wisdom to men that they can't help us. There's nothing wrong with it, but we need to understand that. You have to take medication. Some of you take that medication, pour it out of the bottle, grab a glass of water and drink it down. Don't do that. Take it out of the bottle and pray over it. Lord, let this do what it's supposed to do to be good for my body. One of the things that I do when I pray all the time is some medication that I need to take. Say, Lord, when will you take me off this stuff? I want to get off of it. I don't want to continue on medication unnecessarily. I'd much rather be healed. So the point I'm trying to make is you begin to use your faith. And you have to have a quantity of faith in order to do it. If your bucket's empty, there's nothing there to use. That's why we need to be people of faith, practicing our faith. If the doctors can practice medicine, why can't we practice faith?
Amen.
You know, sometimes people have said, well, I would have prayed for Joe or Mary or Sue or Bob or whatever. I would have prayed for them, but I didn't know whether God would heal them. Well, practice. Just lay hands on them and practice. You never know. You don't know when that right elements of faith in action, the quantity in the action, meet together and you see a healing take place. I've seen with these old two little beady eyes of mine, I've seen God do miracles. We've had miracles right here in this small congregation. One of my best stories is old Don Morales back there hiding in the booth. You know, he was so bad, the doctors didn't even want to operate on his back. And we prayed for him, we prayed for him, we prayed for him. And finally, one day, Bud Pomez got Don. He said, this is the day that God wants to heal Don. And I thought, sure. I had the faith of nothing almost, but I'm going to pray for him anyway. God instantaneously healed Don Morales' back. And then those of you who have been around heard that story before. I called him the next day to see how he was doing, and fool that he was for Jesus, he was cutting his mother-in-law's grass. I said, Don, you think you ought to be doing that? He said, well, I'm just taking it out for a trial run. I mean, there you go. But there are healings. We can get healed of flu. We can get healed of toe nails and heart problems. Just name them all. God's name is above that. But we need to be believers. We need to exercise our faith. One of the things we do, we go to the gym. Why do you go to the gym? So you can exercise your muscle. Why? Because when you exercise your muscle, it gets stronger. When your muscle is stronger, you're able to do more. I go to the gym every week, and I decided to change up my routine, and I went back into the weight room. That's where all the big guys go. I kind of, little skinny me, walked in there. And I went over to, I was going to pick up one of them 100-pound weights, but I thought, I only can do it with one hand, by the way. It just doesn't work very well in the weight room. So I looked at the 100-pound one. I said, well, maybe 50. I said, I started at 10, okay? So I got me a 10-pounder, and I started working that thing, boy, and I mean, it was aching me. But you know what? I've been doing that for a couple of weeks now. I'm up to 20 pounds. I'm working my way up. I don't know how far I'm going to get, but I'm going to do it. I'm exercising that muscle. Well, you exercise your faith in the same way. It's your faith, not my faith. It's your faith that you're trying to build up. You can't live on my faith. You have to live on your faith. You have to trust God. You have to trust God. It's not my trusting God. It's your trusting God, all right? So your faith needs to grow to the quantity where you have enough to do something. Your faith is strong so that you can act on your faith. You need to do, sometimes you need to do something. You know, in my case, I told you about the job. I had to move. I could have waited for them to fire me, which they probably would have not done because I was doing a good job. But I had to move because it was time for me to move. Sometimes you need to do something. You might have all the faith in the world that you could go down to New Orleans and get on a big silver jet plane and fly to New York City. You might have all the faith in the world. You could do that. Honey, if you don't go to the airport, you're not going to New York City on that plane. You got to go. You believe God, you need to do something. There's action involved. It's not just believing, it's doing something. That's why I said these two concepts come together in the Scripture. And you see it over and over again. That's why I gave you these passages, so you can go study them out for yourself. And you see that you have to act on your faith. Now, the age-old discussion among theologians from time immemorial all the way till today, and if the Lord delays, it'll be tomorrow, is whose faith heals? Whose faith actually does the healing? Well, Jesus prayed for people to be healed. Do you think Jesus had faith for people to be healed? Well, he did it. He must have believed. He told that guy when his buddies let him down through the roof and they put him in a pallet in front of him, he said, you know, take up your bed and walk. And the guy took up his bed and walked. Well, he must have been something, Jesus must have believed that it would happen. Okay? So there is the faith of Jesus. We also have the faith of elders. Elders can pray for you. James chapter 5, it talks about elders praying. Say, if any of you are sick, let them call for the elders. Let them anoint that person with oil and let them pray a prayer of faith, and the sick will be raised up. Now, when I used to do that, I missed part of that phrase. It says, in the prayer of faith. So it's incumbent upon elders, not necessarily in the physical office of a pastor, but it's someone who's been around for a while, serving God, that you pray in faith. And so I had to change the way that I pray. Now, I don't always pray in faith. When Don Morales came down here that day to get prayed for, I had a little faith. You know, I was hoping, you know, I was loving, but my faith wasn't great. But I had enough faith to do what God said to do. Take some oil and put it on them and pray for them. Now, there's no power in oil unless you want to cook with it or you want to eat it, all right? Or you want to burn it in your car. But the oil that we use here is just olive oil. That's all that it is. You squeeze an olive, you get oil out of it. It has no power to heal. Yet it says if we will anoint you with oil and pray a prayer of faith, you will be healed. So here's the elements that meet together. Your faith that says, will you pray for me? The elder's faith who's willing to pray, and the faith of Christ blended into that because we're focusing on Him. All those things meet together in this giant union of the possibility of a healing. Now, the theologians are going to say, well, it doesn't work every time. Well, nothing works every time. You know, not on this side of glory, but it works enough that it's worth a try. When you're sick, they get prayed for. I've seen it happen. I've got a faith story to tell you, but it's not finished yet. But when it's finished, but I just want to tell you that there's a healing that's taking place right now with somebody that we've prayed for, who's been really, 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 really sick, and we're believing God to heal him. He's doing better this morning. Did you talk to him this morning? No. Well, it's as of yesterday. Then I'll say. Then it's in the hospital right now than he was before. And I'm kind of saving this story because I want to give you the end of the story. Right now we got the beginning and the middle, but I'm believing by faith that he's had a total, complete, creative miracle in his body. I'm believing God for that. And when I get the rest of that news, I'll bring it to you and let you see it. I've seen creative miracles before. In fact, some people prayed for me for a creative miracle that I could grow a new arm. The problem is that I don't want a new arm. You know, I kind of like being one-armed. You know, it gets a lot of sympathy, you know. I get a lot of help. When I go to restaurants, people cut my meat for me, you know. And, my wife really, you know, I can get out of doing work and say, oh, you know, I only got one arm. I was doing some work trying to put up Christmas lights yesterday, and she was fussing at me because I wasn't doing it the way she wanted. I said, well, I only got one arm. And she said, I know, baby. I said, well, work the game. You know? So I'm looking forward to meeting up my arm in heaven, but it's all here. Just, you know. Now, if you've got enough faith to pray for it, it grows back, I'll be all right. But, You know, it doesn't matter. I'm kind of ambivalent about the whole thing. All right. So you see that picture? See how your faith mixes with others' faith? And faith in God and, you know, the quantity of it and the action of it all meet together. Now, faith prayers can be hindered. They can be hindered. Jesus removed unfaithers, unbelievers, from a room when he was going to pray with someone one time. They said, there was a little girl, said she had died. He said, she's not died, she's just asleep. He went in, he got all the unbelievers out. There's several examples of that in the scripture where unbelievers left so that faith would be there. Now, I think sometimes, now this is just not, I'm not going after you, but I just want to bring this to your attention. I think sometimes when people in church come forward to get prayed for, we have unbelief in the room. Some of you are concerned, when's he going to get out of here? You know, I'm going someplace, you know, I'm waiting, going to lunch, I got to go play a little league game, I got to do this, you know. You're thinking about your job, you're thinking about your wife, your kids, your grandkids, your money, you know, your sickness. You're thinking about you and not putting your faith in with those who are being prayed for. So I think sometimes your unbelief in a situation like that causes us not to be able to see a miracle healing take place. Now, I'm not putting a blame on you. I'm trying to exhort you and encourage you that when other people come to get prayed for, to pay attention and to focus. That's why I invite people to come, people of faith to come around us when we pray. I want to be surround that person with people of faith, not just coming down to pray for someone, but people who believe that God can and will move on that person's behalf. You see that? So we ought to be participating in what's going on. And whether it's just two or three people at a hospital or whether it's a whole bunch of people here at the church, that we put our faith together and we believe God and we trust God. Let me tell you one of the practical reasons of doing that, because you may be the next person that needs to get prayed for. You may be the one that goes to the doctor and finds out you've got something wrong with you and you need prayer. And you'll want everybody in the room praying for you. One of my best stories, and I'm not going to repeat the whole thing because you've heard it before, of a man by the name of John Bordelon. And John was dying of cancer, very, 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 very sick. And God began to orchestrate a group of faithers to pray for him. And actually, Pat had a vision of the people that would do it, and we got those men together, and we went to pray for John. And we made sure, in fact, we asked everyone to leave the house except for those seven men when we went there. And I just let me back up a little bit on the story. The other part of the story is we fasted, we prayed, we met at my house before we went there. And probably in the annals of a move of God, what took place in my house that night is way, way up in the top three of things I've ever seen God do. We had an old-fashioned foot washing. First time I've been involved in that I can remember. We prayed for one another. The power of God was so strong. We asked, and ladies, don't get upset about this, but we asked the ladies to go into another room, and we had the men there just because we were the ones who were going. And Pat will tell you that the power of God was so strong in that house that you'd have trouble walking. That's how powerful it was. And we were supposed to be at his house, let's say, at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. We didn't get there till 9 o'clock. It was several hours. We were at my house getting ready. And when we left our house, we went over to John's house, and I thought he was dead. I'll be honest with you. He was laying in bed. I thought the man was dead. And we got around his bed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, prayed every prayer we knew. But, boy, we were ready. And one of the guys said, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Honey, that man sat up in bed, scared me half to death. I mean, every hair in my body stood up. And he sat up, and he looked around, and he said, what are you guys doing here? And we said, John, we came to pray for you. And he said, well, you want some coffee? I mean, we had just been through this great spiritual experience. And he says, do you want coffee? And we said, yeah. He got out of bed. He's still alive. That was 35, 40 years ago, 1976, and the man's still alive today. That's a miracle. The doctors documented that one. It's a miracle, a real miracle. I'm telling you these stories because to build your faith, to begin to believe God for miracle things. We had a lot of faith. We had a group of faith. We had an agreement in faith. And we were believing God. And we got the unbelievers out of the way so that we could have God moving. So I know that sounds, like we're excluding people, but we're not excluding people. We're trying to include those who will believe. And if you can't believe, then maybe it's a good thing, maybe just to step back and let those who can believe and do believe do it. As I mentioned to you earlier, Jesus didn't do very much in his own hometown because of their unbelief. So unbelief can hinder the very work of God. It hindered Christ. So faith of the sick is necessary and that they need to ask. If you're sick, you need to ask. Now, sometimes I'll go to people who I know are sick and ask them if I can pray for them. And I have in God's move. But I'll tell you, the right way to do it is for when you're sick, for you to ask me to pray for you. Or you to ask someone else to pray for you. Ask an elder to pray for you. That's exercising your faith. You're believing and you're ready to move in that realm. Remember the woman with the issue of blood in the scriptures? It was her faith. She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I could be healed. And it was a crowd. A crowd was pressing in around Jesus. She reached through the crowd. She touched him. And Jesus said, what was that? Virtue has flown out of me. And the disciples said, how could you tell when we're pushed on every side? How did you know? But the faith of that woman there, she believed. She believed. There was a woman by the name of Willie and Curly. She had breast cancer. I was in the hospital with her and her husband, and they had decided before that she went into surgery that she would not have a mastectomy. They could remove the lump, but that's all she let them do. The doctor came into the waiting room. I was right there. I was with Gil, her husband, and the doctor says, your wife has terrible cancer. We need to do a mastectomy right now. And Gil said, my wife and I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ will heal her. Just take the lump out as best you can, Doc. Sew her up. Let me take my wife home. I heard that man say that. And I thought, wow, what faith. That woman walked through cancer for 7 years. Is that right, Pat? Through 7 years. And boy, I tell you, she was, I really admired her. I don't want you to do this, but I admired what she did. She'd get in pain in the middle of the night, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. She'd call me up. Morris, I wasn't even a pastor of a church. I was just nobody. She'd call me and said, would you come pray for me? Oh, would you pray for me? And I said, yeah, I'll pray for you. She said, no, come to the house. I said, Melina, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I know, I need you to pray for me now. Said, all right, boy. Pat and I get dressed and we go over to the house. I can't tell you how many times she did that to me. And you know what? Cancer ravaged her entire body. It was in her bones. It was everywhere. In 7 years, she walked out free of any cancer. Why did it take 7 years? I have no idea. I'm telling you stories of faith. This woman had faith to believe. Faith to believe. Not for a hangnail or parking place, but faith to believe for her own life. Husband and wife agreeing together. They said, well, what if she would have died? I don't know. She didn't. That's all I can tell you. She didn't. There was a centurion. He wasn't even in the kingdom so far as we know. And he comes to Jesus and he says, would you pray for my servant who is sick? And Jesus said, yeah, I'll be right there. He said, No. I'm not worthy. You should come into my room. Just speak the word. And my servant would be healed. And Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. Right. And that man left. And he was going back. And some of his other servants met him on the way. And they said, your servant is healed. Your servant is healed. And he asked him what hour it was. What was the time when it took place? And it was at the very hour that Jesus spoke the words of faith. Where is your faith, beloved? Your faith in that prescription medicine? Is your faith in your ability to do things? Is your faith in yourself? Or is your faith where it needs to be in Jesus Christ? And when we are, much of what is wrong with the church And when I say church, I'm talking about this church. I'm talking about the church at large. It's unbelief. We just don't believe. Oh, we get a ticket punched that we're going to heaven. You know, we have saving faith for that, and we're saved. But we quit believing. It just drains out of us. We have new Christians all excited about the Lord. They believe God for everything. And then after a couple of years being around church people, we just suck the faith right out of them. Instead of building them up on their faith, it tells us to exhort one another, to build one another up on our most holy faith. That's what we should be doing. We ought to be encouraging one another. Somebody's sick. Let me pray for you, brother. Let me help you, sister. What do you need? I'll pray for you. You want me to fast with you? Let's fast for 3 days. Let's see if that'll do any good. Let's get a bottle of oil. Let's get a quart of oil. Let's take a bath in oil. Let's do whatever we can. Let's just try doing anything. By faith and believe that God will take you out of this sickness. But we just live with it. Oh, well, we'll just send them. We'll just go to the doctor. You know, there's a new medicine out. The airwaves of the television broadcast day after day after day after day. Names of drugs that we can't even pronounce. This will do this, this will do this. But you hear all the disclaimers that go along with it? Your eyes will fall off, your arms will fall off, your hair will fall off. You'll die with this stuff. You go to the doctor, they're going to do a procedure, they're going to take an eyelash out. They make you sign this document. Say, what's that document, doc? Oh, that says that if you die, it's not my fault. Man, isn't it better if believers got together and trusted God and maybe we'd see some blooming miracles take place? Yeah. Trusting God for a change. Being a people of faith. I am telling you that the Bible, in particular the New Testament, is laced from one end to the other about healings that took place. Powerful, powerful moves of God. And we who are the children of God, the people of God, don't believe it and don't practice it. Amen. We don't practice what we preach. I told somebody, a preacher not too long ago, he preached something, a situation came up in his life. I said, you know what your problem is, brother? You don't believe what you preach. He didn't like to hear that, but it's the truth. He wasn't believing what he preached. Believing God, trusting God. That's where our focus needs to be. That was good preaching. Good job. Good job, Morris. I pat myself on the back with my right hand if I can get it back there. I could if I wanted to. All right, third thing I want to talk to you about is that you discover that faith overcomes life's challenges. Faith overcomes life's challenges. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Let's go back to that. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe. It didn't say might believe, may believe. It says must believe. That he exists. Two things. And that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. This is one of the most powerful passages of Scripture in the Bible. For us as believers to know and to practice and to believe. If you have no faith, it's impossible to please God. Your faith is necessary to live in this world and have any measure of success, victory, peace, and joy in your life. Otherwise, you're going to live like the world. You know why the pews aren't filled? Because there's not enough happening around here to make people want to come. There's truckloads of sick people and lost people and desperate people and depressed people and people with children problems and parents problems and husband problems and wife's problems. They're not in the church because we don't have any solutions for them. Oh, we give lip service to it. And the preacher gets up and preaches all these great stem-winding sermons about, oh, have faith in God. God can heal your marriage. God can heal your life. God can do all these things. And nobody sees it happening. Do you know that percentage-wise, we have the same rates of problems in the church as we do outside the church? We're just as sick in here as they are out there. We have just as many marital problems in the church as we do out of the church. Yeah. Isn't there something wrong with that picture, or am I the only one who sees it? It ought to be different. If it was different, people would come. People you know, people on your job. You'd find somebody would say, I'm having problems, you know, I don't know what to do about something. Say, why don't you come to church with me? Man, something can happen in church. Jesus Christ is there. We'll believe for you to do things. And if they came and something happened, what would they do? They'd find somebody else. And then find somebody else. And then find somebody else. Being a believer wherever you are in your life. I can't tell you how many times in my life, and this is no accolades for me, but just to give you some stories that you can hang your faith on. When I'd work in the business environment, and I'd share my faith with you. I'm not a in-your-face kind of person. Y'all know that by now. But I live my faith as best I know how. You know, I am what I am. On a Sunday morning in the pulpit, or at home, or in the job. I'm the same guy, nothing different. What you see is what you get. You know, like it or lump it, you know, that's who I am. I'm like Popeye, I got the shirt. I am what I am, and that's all that I am. All right? And I share my faith with people and on the job, you know, and just talk about God. It's a normal course of things. So what if you came to my house? And people didn't like it, you know. People tell me, no, you know, I'm not interested in that, you know. And I asked a guy one time who was sick. He was really in bed for a long time. I asked him if I could pray for him. He said, man, if I want prayers, I'll go to church or something. He ain't praying for me. I said, okay. But I laughed because I was praying for him anyway. I didn't care. You know, he just didn't know it. End of that story is he came to the Lord eventually, all right? But people would come to me, and they would say, Morris, can I talk to you for a few minutes? And I'd say, sure. And they would always come to my office and close the door. And when they closed the door, and I can't tell you how many men, big grown men, would be crying because their lives were a wreck. Can you help me? Can you help me? What can I do? Remember one of the worst ones, a guy came in, he was so devastated. He said, I just talked my wife into having an abortion. He says, I can't live with it. We killed that baby. He said, I couldn't afford one more child. He's still living with that today. Wish he'd came to see me before he did it, but he didn't. Prayed for him anyway. People need help, beloved. And you're the only hope they got. Because you're the one that's got the message. You're the one who has Christ that you can share. Not some kind of weak and namey Christ, but a Christ who's able to change the course of a person's life, to help them overcome the challenges of life. This life is filled with challenges, and people need help. And I know that they might ignore you the first couple of times, but I'm telling you, when people know who you are, they will come to you and ask. And when they come, then you can pray for them. You know, well, I don't want to go there. Let's go down another row. Here's some simple instructions for believers, all right? Faith is required to please God. It's required. It's not an option. You want to please God, you got to have faith. Now, it's not that God's going to have a happier day because you believe in Him, but it's that you're going to have a better day. And when you have a better day, God is pleased with that. God's as pleased and as happy as He's ever going to get. But when you believe in Him, when you have faith in Him, your day is better. And when your day is better, the angels in heaven are having a better day. And you're going to have a better day because of it all. And God rejoices with that. That's why you can't please God without faith. Because you're not doing any better. It's about you in this respect. Where's your faith? Where's your trust? And if you want to please God, if you want to have a happy God, you got to get happy yourself. Let me tell you what, faith and happiness are contagious. You get a lot of faith going, other people are going to want to be around you. They want to rub off on you. You get happy, people want to be around you. I don't like to be around grumps. Do you? I hate grumpy people. How you doing? Yeah, man, everything's going bad. Blah, blah, blah. You know, I burned the beans again. You know, the car's broke again. You know, my wife did this again. My husband did this again. I don't have enough money for this again. You know, I got I won the lottery. They gave me $1 million, but they didn't give me $2 million. You know, I just get tired of that. Didn't somebody just lie to me and tell me things are going good for a change? You know, just to make me feel better. Being a people of faith, pleasing God. The other thing is about these instructions, it's required for you to believe that God exists. I started off with this, and I'm kind of aiming back out of the game. You believe God exists, don't you? Where is He? Huh? Well, if he ain't around here, if he was around here, things would be going better. Where is God? People use that. I wrote an article for the newspaper. I don't know if some of you may have read it about this very issue. People, you know, how often people say this, oh, my God. You know, something that, oh, my God, oh, my God. I said, man, a lot of people believe in God. Wow. They keep calling God, oh, my God. You know what they're saying? I don't know where God is. That's why they're crying out, oh, my God. They're not saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Yeah, oh, my God. And an explanation of the way they feel on the inside that there is no God. And, you know, Christians do that all the time. We don't believe that God exists for us. Well, we believe in the deity. We believe in Jesus Christ. We know that God lives in us, but we don't live like it. We're living like everybody else. Oh, my God, life. Oh, my God. Instead of living a lot. One of these days, God's going to show me how to do this. I'm going back on old sermons now. One of these days, God's going to show me how to show you what's going on the inside of you. If you knew who it was that was in you, you would be so overjoyed with the presence and existence of God, we'd have to put ropes on you to keep you from floating out the building. Amen. Believing in God and His existence in you, in your life. It's not that He exists in a heavenly realm. It's not some theological idea that God lives in me. It's the knowing the reality of the living life that Christ lives in me. That I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. That there's something good going on inside my life and all around me. I'm radiating the presence of God wherever I go. I am the body of Christ. I have the power of Christ, the voice of Christ, the ears of Christ, the mind of Christ, the lips, the tongue, the vision of Christ, because I am Christ in the body assembled together as a body of believers. That's who we are. Not some weak, anemic little bunch of people. Faith in God. I believe that God lives and that He lives in me, that He exists. He's not somewhere else. I don't go running around looking for God. If I ever want to find God, I just got to look in the mirror. Because there He is on the inside. You ever look at lifeless eyes of people sometimes? It's lifeless. Lifeless. It scares me. I met a guy several months ago. Lifeless. Nothing. I just looked in his eyes. Nothing there. Nothing there. When I look in your eyes, those of you believers in God, I see the life of Christ in you. I see something worth rejoicing about. Can you just let yourself see that? You want to have a victorious life? You want to be able to get over to some of the challenges you're going through? It's got to start someplace. It's got to start with you believing who you are. And who's in you. And that for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross and despised the shame. That joy was you. That you might be filled with the Spirit of God. You have to have a faith that believes that God will respond on your behalf. Well, you can by faith go to God, and you have a faith that believes that God will move both heaven and earth. You know, when Jesus said, if you had the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And He said it would happen. Why? Not in your faith, not in your words, but in His ability to do it. You don't have that ability, but God has the ability. What mountains are you living with? What junk are you living with day by day by day? Because you do not believe that God will move on your behalf. If you don't believe God will move on your behalf, go join the Lions Club or the Moose Club or some other club and get out of church because it's not doing you a bit of good. But if you want to believe in God and the power of God, you need to start believing that God will move both heaven and earth on your behalf. If you will come to Him and say, Lord, I've only got a little faith, but what I got, it's all in You. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. It's all about Him, trusting Him for great, wonderful things. That's the kind of God we serve. Well, you know, It'd be pathetic for you to be a multi-billionaire and for your kids to be living on crackers and cheese because they wouldn't come home and get a decent meal. And don't we treat God the same way? He's a billionaire of faith and power and might, and we sit around picking up crumbs instead of believing and trusting in God. Putting our faith in Him that He will move on our behalf. Six times, Jesus admonished people for their little faith. For provisioning. This is all in the handout I gave to you, Matthew 6:30. He said, will He not much more clothe you of little faith? You're worried about where you're going to, just the provisions you need. People are worried. Well, you know, the way the economy's going, man, I don't know whether we're going to have any food. You know, it's going to cost $1 billion to get a loaf of bread. You don't know how we're going to do. The stock market's going to crash. The Russians are going to attack China. China's going to attack Israel. It goes on and on and on and on. You know, what about you think God can't feed you? What did David say? David didn't even have the New Testament like you and I have it today. He said, I've been young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed out begging for any bread. I believe God will provide for you. Amen. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Old Testament concept, fulfilled and magnified in the New Testament. Oh, you have little faith. What about the storms of life? He stood up and he rebuked the wind and the waves and it was completely calm. And he said to them, oh, you have little faith. Did you not know who was with you? They stood around and said, holy cow, who is this guy? The waves stopped, the wind stopped. Who is this guy? They had already spent time with him. His ability to calm the storm. What kind of life storm are you going through right now? You got kid problems, marital problems, relationship problems, money problems, emotional problems. You're going to live with those problems till the day you die if you don't start trusting God to do something about it. And not just lip service, but believing God is able to calm the storms of your life. Amen. Believe that God is with you. I love Peter. Gets out of the boat. Walks to God. He's doing so good. And then he looks down and sees where he is. And, you know, God, Jesus says, where is your faith, man? Give me a hand. I'll pull you out of this mess. You know, no need to worry about it. God is with you. You are not alone. You don't need to be afraid. Are you afraid? Some of you are afraid of life. You're afraid to live. You're afraid of what's going to happen today or tomorrow. You know, what the questions you don't know. Let me tell you what. God is with you no matter what. You think God knows you don't have enough money? You think God doesn't know you're sick? You know what I think God's doing? He's waiting for you to stand up in your faith and believe Him to do something for you and to take some action. The necessities of life, some things you need. Jesus said it was a group of Matthew 16:8, talking among themselves because they had no bread. God will provide for you all that you need, the substance of life that you need. Possible situations, as I told you earlier, you could say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it'll be removed. The everyday things that you need. He said there's a clothes, God clothes the lilies of the field and we're here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow. How much more so will He take care of you? Oh, you have a little faith. Are you examining yourself in this sermon? Are you measuring yourself and saying, you know what? Man, my faith is lacking. I hadn't believed God in so long. That, you know, it's got to be a habit of not believing God. You can start today to begin differently. If your faith is lacking, if it's weak, if it's ineffective, it can be fixed. And this is what you do. Three things that I'm going to close. You're lacking faith, it needs to be increased. You know how you can increase your faith? These are simple things. This is not religious jargon. These are just practical things that will help you. Praying. Some of you haven't even prayed lately. Oh, you got a prayer. Lord, bless this food. Lord, bless my kids. God, bless me. You know? I think God... You know what a computer filter is? You can do this on your email sometime. If you want to block somebody out, you can put their name in and filter them out. You'll never see mail from them again. I think God's got a filter on bless me. I think when you say bless me, it's filtered out. It never gets to heaven. That's just an opinion. That's not theology. We say, bless me so many times. God bless me. God bless me. We even do it when you sneeze. God bless you. God bless you. How's about some old-fashioned praying? How's about laying down on the floor and crying your eyes out and your heart to God? Say, God, if you don't move, I am undone. I need you now, not tomorrow. Just praying. Maybe you're not there. Just start where you can. Pray to the Scriptures. A good thing to do is take the Scriptures and read them personally. Just make them personal. Go read the Psalms. Make it personal. Fasting. There's that word again. We better get used to it because we're going to use it a lot around here, especially the next coming month. Fasting. Oh, well, God hadn't called me to fast. Well, are you excluded from this? You know something I don't know? If you know something I don't know, please tell me because I don't like to fast. I'd rather do something else. Maybe we could have an eating instead of a fasting. Let's eat for 21 days. I'm in on that program. How many want to be in on the eating? All right, let's get into eating. Fasting? Why in the world would you ever want to fast? I'm going to tell you why you'd want to fast. It is one of the most awesome experiences to get close to God that I know what to do. If I knew something better, honey, I'd do it. I'd do anything other than fast, believe me. I'm not a great eater, but there are things that I like that I really do like a lot. I just went and got some yesterday. I went down to Bricado's in New Orleans and got me some fig cakes. I bought me 3 bags, 20-something bucks. That's crazy for cookies. There's some things I love. But to give all of that up for 21 days, that's what we're going to do in January. January 8th through the 29th, I believe it is, from Sunday to Sunday. We can do it for 3 weeks. Say, well, Pastor, I don't know if I can fast. Well, you will never know until you try. Say, well, what if I got to go to work and I have to eat and I have to, we'll work it out. Don't worry about the details. We'll work it out. Trust me, everyone who's been here for 21 days and fasted with us has come out the other end different. Am I telling the truth? We've all been different. I've been different. And I've been looking forward to it and hating it all at the same time. Knowing January is coming. January is coming. I feel like a fighter pilot who just took off an aircraft carrier because I know I got to land on that thing again. Then I got to come back and land on the fasting aircraft again. I got to get back to it again because I know what it'll do for me. You know, I'm not trying to bribe God. But I'll tell you what fasting does. It builds me up on my spirit. Every time I get a hunger pain, I just think about the Lord. I just think about Him and it focuses. And I hear from God like a crystal bell. I just hear Him in ways that I can't hear Him when I have all this other clutter going on. And I have good news for you. No one to this date has died from fasting. Not in this church. If they died somewhere else, it's not my responsibility. But in this church, nobody's died. Fasting will get your faith built up. Giving. Now, this is something new that I learned. I learned this last year about giving because it's all tied together. Matthew chapter 6, go read it. He says, when you fast, when you pray, when you give. And last year we did that. This little old group of people coughed up about $8,000, something like that. Yeah, just an enormous amount of money. I was so impressed. And a lot of you prospered since then. You got involved in that, you prosper. That's another sermon about giving. I'm not going to get into that today. But praying, fasting, and giving, those things are all blended in together. Now, let me tell you what. Some of you are pretty smart. I know some of you. The Holy Spirit just told me. Some of you think, well, I'll just give instead of fast. No. If that would work, I'd do it. It won't work. It's all three of them. Praying, fasting, and giving together. We're going to do that in January. I really want you to consider doing it. Now, some of you, I know, I've heard it. I know who you are. Yes, I know. I'm the pastor. I know everything. I know it's you who's not fasting because God hadn't called you to do it. Listen to this. I'm calling you to fast. That's God's voice through me, all right? Calling you to fast. I want you to do this with me. I'm promising you, you'll be better for it. And you won't die. If you die, I do great funeral services anyway, so don't worry about it. I'll take care of you. If your faith is weak, it needs to be exercised. Start small and build up. Start getting to a place where you can believe God for some things. You know, start wherever you need to start. I started with parking places. I did. And Pat will tell you, do I have faith for parking places? I never worry about parking. I park. We went down to My uncle, I had to do his funeral for him last week, and we had to go to this restaurant. There was no place to park. I pulled in. They said, you're going to have to go park in the back. And so I'm backing out. I got myself jammed up. I get backing out. Guy right in the front pulled out. Pat said, there it is, because I just pulled right in the front. You know, I had to work on that, and I love it. It's a great faith to have, you know, faith for parking. I can hear the Holy Spirit say, well, you need to walk a little bit. You're getting a little chubby, so. But just believe God for whatever you can. Just start building a repertoire of faith testimonies that are yours. You know, my testimonies are great. I love to tell them. And they build you up. I know they help you. But how much better is it when it's your testimony? You know? And trust me, come see me. I will rejoice with you about anything that you had faith in that happened. You're trying to tell me I'm running out of time back there? Or you're just trying to prove you got two hands and I got one? I love these guys. That's what happens. You got media. You know, they got to keep track of all this stuff. I'm going through it. I'm going to make it. But really, start small and build your faith up. Just start doing something. Whatever it is. Believe in God for something and pressing in until you start seeing faith in God begin to work. This is not, let me just put a little parenthesis. This is not magic. I'm not telling you a little magic formula. I'm telling you things that will build you up. You're going to have a hard time going to pray for your husband or your wife or somebody with cancer if you haven't had any faith in God for some small things. You've got to build yourself up. Which reminds me, well, I won't say that. If your faith is ineffective, it needs to be energized. One of the best ways to energize your faith is to start praising God. Start praising Him for everything. Oh, thank you, God, that my TV set went off. Thank you, God, that my car started. God, I thank you for everything. Thank you, God, I got clothes to wear. Thank you, God, I'm feeling good today. God, I thank you that I'm going to feel better in an hour from now than I do right now. Thank you, God, for everything. Thank you for this medicine. God, thank you for my family. Thank you for my wonderful pastor. What a preacher he is. Thank you for him. Whatever. Just start praising God and thanking Him for what you got going. Don't be looking at that half-empty glass. Start praising Him for the half-full glass. And worship. This will help your faith. You'll become a person that'll be almost impossible to live with unless you're a faith person. You know? Unbelievers won't want to be around you. They'll think you've grown up your cuckoo. But a life of praising God and believing that He is able to do great things. So, now we're going to close. I want you to start trusting God. Believing God. Be a person of faith. Let your God be big. I promise you, according to the Word of God, and I gave you these handouts, spend the next couple of days just going through those scriptures. You know, and go look them up, and you don't just read that. You know, I've got isolated one scripture, but go read a whole passage and get everything in context and see if the Holy Spirit won't build up your faith just by reading some of those passages about faith, all right? Y'all ready? Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, abiding in His great love, from all harm safe in His sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for this life You've given us, calling us a people of faith. God, help us. Let this Word we've studied this morning pierce our very souls. Change the way that we live. And Lord, let us see You every day in our lives. We trust You, Lord. We believe in You. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Let me just say, next week I'll be talking about the weapons that can whip the world. The weapons that can whip the world. That's my plan. All right? So with that, you're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Thank you for being here.